What's up, man?
What's going on, dude?
Episode 34. We're going to dabble in some true crime.
Yeah.
A lot of people like this stuff.
It is, and it's crazy how popular true crime is.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
So much, like, channels about just general podcast channels on YouTube, whatever, and they are jammed with, like, followers.
It's got, you know, I don't know what it is. I listen to it all the time. I listen to Mr. Ballin all the time. Mm-hmm. I love Mr. Ballin. And I'm, like, sitting there like, man, this stuff is really, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, like, secretly enjoying it or like, vicariously being able to see situations, you know, that you're not involved in or what. Or if it's just getting messages out there, there's stories out there, and it's crazy. Like, I watch Forensic Files all the time, and it's, like, it's kind of weird that I don't know if the word is entertained by it. Mm-hmm. Or if it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, knowledgeable? I don't know either,
is
dude.
It knowledge?
I think it is knowledge and the entertainment side.
Awareness?
I think it's like, this is real. That's what people get. Like, kind of was like a fear to it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit, dude, this is real. Like, yeah, people, this, okay, you can go with awareness too. This can happen to me, you know?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So
it's
real
crazy.
Real quick before we start on this true crime story, we did want to read a discretion statement real quick. But as it says, during this episode, we will be talking about true crime events that had happened pertaining to a convicted killer and kidnapper, Jeffrey Willis. This is not to glamorize him, but to use this to bring awareness and tell the stories of his victims, Jessica Lynn Haringa and Rebecca Blesch. This episode may include some graphic detail. View and or listener discretion is advised. So,
correct.
All right.
So if you don't know, we're going to be talking about Jeffrey Willis.
Yes. This actually happened very close to me. I do live on the west side of Michigan. I remember this story. This was about 10, 11 years ago. Wow. Almost 11 years ago to the day. This
no
story
shit.
Was
no
everywhere,
shit.
Everywhere. And what's even more interesting and unfortunate is the story keeps going. And that's what we're going to walk you guys through. And this guy is a nasty piece of shit. Jeffrey Willis. So what we're going to start, we're going to head back to April 25th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, she'd been working at an Exxon Mobil gas station.
And you say you've gone by that gas station.
I just worked out. I was just working out there just a little bit ago out in Norton Shores, Michigan. It kind of started the night before. April 25th. Jessica was working. And one of the customers had come in, and it was very late night. And she's like, you know, why are you working here all alone at such an hour? And all of a sudden, they were both interrupted, and this man was in the gas station also. Interrupted, like, you know, she's got customers looking out for her, too. And apparently, Jessica was very, like, didn't like it. The lady could sense, like, Jessica is uncomfortable with this. So she ended up going outside and waiting in the parking lot for this individual to leave. Well, that individual did end up leaving, and once that man, it was a big man, ended up leaving, that was when the lady customer, ended up pulling out of the parking lot also. Now, we don't know if that was Jeffrey Willis from the night before.
True.
But on the 26th, we'll go back and forth, Brandon, and we'll read off the timeline of what had happened that night.
Mm-hmm.
But at 10:55 p.m., April 26, 2013, there was a last transaction for a cigarette lighter. It was recorded on Jessica's register.
Yep.
And that was the only single item purchased on that final transaction.
So yeah, like you said, that was 10:55. This part got me kind of like, what? No, 11 o'clock, the Exxon manager and her husband rode by. They're on their motorcycles, right? Mm-hmm. And they drove by, and she looked over at the gas station and noticed the silver minivan at the side. So they ended up pulling into the parking lot or whatever, the gas station. And she said she's seen people, like a guy loading something up in the back.
Acting very suspicious.
Yeah. And then he got in the van and he drove away.
Yep.
But what she said was like his behavior and everything was just kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. And then they left.
Yeah.
And then shortly after she got the call. But why wouldn't you go in? I don't know. Personally, for me, I'm like, why wouldn't you go in and check?
Especially if it's your store.
Yeah. You're the manager, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering if it wasn't weird for them until afterward.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now.
You know what I mean?
And this is the awareness side, right? People like, you see something like this, like, maybe I should go check this out.
Sure. Yeah.
No.
And then 11:02 and 11:05 p.m., a silver Chrysler Town & Country matching the manager's description, the silver one, was caught by surveillance cameras of three other businesses speeding away from the station. So obviously, whoever was driving that is very spooked. Took off.
Got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. And I'm assuming because he thought he was seen by the manager's
pulling that very well could have been that too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yep.
You could have been like, oh shit, I gotta go. Yeah, shortly after that, 11:10, a man pulled up in the gas station and attempted to pay for gas. And he went in, and this guy knew Jessica too.
Right.
He said he knew her. Because he worked, I don't know if he worked across the street or he worked very close to where he always visited that Exxon gas station. Regularly, every night or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unable to find her. So he looked around. He ended up going back in the cooler area to say she was maybe stocking drinks or something.
Right.
Nowhere to be found, but he noticed that her jacket was still there, her purse was still there, everything was still there. And then he ended up calling police.
Yeah, which is good move by him because, you know, typically – probably before this story, if that ever happened, I probably would just peek around and look around and be like, all right,
yeah, for sure.
I'm going to take off. I'll just go to the next gas station. They're off somewhere else. So they have that presence of mind to be like, no, something.
And I'm not 100%, but I thought during the interview process when he got put up on when they're doing the trial,
mm-hmm.
He actually said that he was about to go to another gas station because he couldn't find where no one working.
Well, you always think you don't. I mean, maybe now because this has happened, you don't go to the worst case scenario right away.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's not in your head.
Yeah. So 11:25 p.m., police arrived at the gas station. In addition to Jessica's belongings, they found an accessory parts to a gun. Near a pool of blood outside the station. So it was dark outside, so I don't blame other people just not seeing it, let alone you're at a gas station. There's shit all over the floor anyway, radiator fluid, you know, it's all over the place. They ruled out a robbery as soon as they discovered, like, $400 in cash was left in Jessica's wallet, and not a single dime was missing from the register.
Yeah.
So about an hour later, the police, you know, with the K-9 unit searched the immediate area, but they unfortunately didn't find anything. Found at the scene was her car, her jacket, cigarettes, purse, her money, as we stated before. And then they actually ended up doing a DNA analysis on the items and the blood, and unfortunately it did end up being Jessica's.
Correct.
So, after that night, man, it was a huge news story out here. I believe it went almost national, but big deal.
Well, eventually it did.
Yeah.
Before he was, Jeffrey Willis was caught, it went national.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you want to hit the more pop culture stuff or
just. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can mention it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me grab it back up. But, I mean, this whole everything, it was on Unsolved Mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
That was that aired in, it looks like, 2015. So 2 years later, it was all about Jessica's abduction, disappearance, you know. And they had a $26,000 reward on there. Almost all the way up to when he got, he get caught in this. So yeah, the national side, it just stayed at the Unsolved Mystery stuff, it looks mm-hmm. like. And then after that, it hit like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different things nationally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Unsolved Mysteries thing was kind of big because, man, do you remember watching that stuff as a kid and you're like,
scary.
This is scary. Right?
Yeah, this was terrifying. Wow. Yeah. And then, you know, what followed, they had a 75-member task force from 14 different divisions that spent over 12,000 manned hours trying to find her. They received 1,500 tips. They served 33 search warrants. Her remains to this day, unfortunately, have never been found. And during this time, you know, it was 2013. It was the case was running cold. It got cold quickly until something else had happened. On June 29, 2014, around 6 p.m., a woman named Rebecca Bletch, I believe is her last name, was discovered laying on the side of a trail where she had been jogging. She jogged all the time. Individuals had found her. Once they had found her, I believe she was in a prone position, face down. Yep. They called right away. She was breathing still, very shallow, and there was just blood everywhere, all over the place. They did notice next to her was a pile of, in a pile was her sunglasses, her earbuds, her phone, which was held inside of one of those cases, armband cases. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they thought it was an accident. The people thought it was an accident. Like she got hit by something. There's just blood everywhere. The cops had shown up, and unfortunately, when the cops had shown up, Rebecca had passed from her wounds, but they quickly found out this was not an accident. She has multiple gunshot wounds to her head. Multiple. Yeah. And like I said, she passed before the police had arrived. And unfortunately, at this time, there were zero witnesses to what had happened. And there was no possible way to match the bullets either, because to match the bullets to something, or to match the bullets to a gun, you need a murder weapon. Or you need bullets from a previous crime that you can use forensics to match the patterns on the bullets. So, unfortunately, this case went cold super fast. Real fast, unfortunately. And, yeah, this one was actually touched really close to home, because I had friends that knew Rebecca, and it was crazy to see this all on my Facebook. I saw the people hurting, and it was like, it was just a knot in your stomach. Like, holy cow, what in the world? Especially you think like a person just jogging, like, who's what? It's, you know, not only is this close in you know, your hometown, but just within the vicinity and the people. So it was like, wow, this is freaking crazy. And like I said, no one knew. There was no ties, no nothing. All they had was a body, unfortunately. So
yeah, I mean, it's a rural area, right? You said it was like a trail area, and there's no houses around, from what I understood. Zero witnesses.
You know. Yeah. And it's pretty wild here, because here, and just like any other rural areas, people fire their guns all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
And they do it over here, and I'm not too rural of an area.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I have a Christmas tree farm owner behind me, way behind me. The huge fields everywhere. And you don't even think of pop, 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 pop in the distance. So, you know, even if something was heard, unfortunately, people probably didn't even think twice about it. Just, you know, for those reasons.
And it's just very common.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
So yeah, ran cold until, you want to cover this part?
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, roll with it.
So Rebecca's incidents happened in 2014. 14. And then 2 years later, 2016, a 16-year-old girl had managed to escape from a minivan after she was kidnapped by the driver. She was coming home from a party when a man offered her a ride. She tried to leave because the man was, he had a gun, right? He pulled a gun out on her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what are you doing type deal? And then next thing you know, she ended up jumping out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
This is the crazy, this part right here, this whole thing with her got me so like uneased.
Yeah.
So she got out, she got torn up from road rash, right? She's saying they estimated about 40 miles an hour they were already going. So she ended up running away. He got out of the car, but did not shoot. Come to find out, from what I've heard, the gun possibly jammed.
Really? And
he said, screw it. Yeah. So I've watched multiple interviews with police and everything, and they all confirmed that the gun had jammed.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why she got away. So she ended up running, and she found a house. She went up to the house, banged on the door, and the woman answered. She called 911, and then you can actually listen to that audio. Have you listened to that audio?
No.
Dude, it gets me sick. Ooh. Absolutely sick. The way she's talking and, like, crying and, ugh, dude, because I'm thinking of my daughter.
Right.
You know, like, what happens if, you know. And, dude, oh, God. Dude, it made me so sick hearing that. I got pissed.
Yeah.
I literally got pissed about it.
Is it something you could add to this episode?
I can add it, yeah. All right. Yeah. So we'll add it right now.
Hey, 911, where's your emergency?
It's at Spring Creek. Please come immediately. We have a man that has picked up a girl, and he has a gun, and he's outside. Come immediately.
Okay, we're going to get help there, okay? Stay on the line with me, okay? Stay on the line with me. Who has a gun?
Well, there was a girl, she just ran up into my yard, and she said that a guy just came in, and there was a piece that came up to my house, and I let her in. She said a guy was chasing her with a gun.
Okay, so the guy's not there? The girl is still there?
She's hysterical right now, and I'm shaking, so.
Okay, can I talk to her?
Yeah, here she is. Hello.
Hi, this is 911, okay?
Is this coming? Are you coming?
Yep, we're going to get some help there. How long ago did this happen?
I had to jump out of the car.
How long ago did this happen?
2 minutes ago, I ran. I had to run to her house.
Who was it?
I don't even know him. I was like, please let me out right now. Please let me out.
You were in his car?
Yes. No, he brought me in his car. He said, get in. I said, did he use the phone? He said,
where did he pick you up from?
I can show you if you guys bring me back.
You don't know who it was? He just told you to get in his car?
Yes, and I just asked you to use his phone.
What kind of car was it?
A van.
What color was the van?
Silver.
Okay. What did he look like?
He was fat and had a beard and a mustache.
What was that?
He was chubbier, had a beard and a mustache.
Yeah, dude. It is wild.
Wow, so she was able to give the description of the vehicle.
Yep. Then. Oh yeah, silver minivan. She threw it out there right away.
Ooh.
That's key. That was a key freaking word there. Words. Silver minivan, because that came up in obviously the Jessica's case, and I don't know if it ever got brought up in Rebecca's.
Not yet.
I'm trying to think.
Not with the minivan.
No.
I don't think it was the minivan. It was the bullets that they were able to.
Yes, that's right.
Recover. That's right. So, she gave the description of the vehicle, they were able to go back on the surveillance tapes to Jessica's crime and go, oh, silver minivan, what's going on? And that was when they had checked the other cameras too on other businesses, like, hey, what's going on in this night? So thankfully they were able to trace it back to the 46-year-old pile of piece of shit. Jeffrey Willis.
Mm-hmm.
So Willis was arrested on the morning of May 17, 2016, charges of kidnapping the 16-year-old girl. As the investigation progressed, police were able to uncover the evidence linking him to the murder of Rebecca Blesch, which was the bullets and the gun. The crucial discovery was a .22 caliber shell casings, and they matched the bullets fired from the firearm recovered from Willis's van. Police found also several concerning items, including handcuffs, a J-hook, rope, chain, leather restraints, a ball gag, lubricating jelly, vibrators, syringes. One of them was filled with insulin, Viagra, and a list. So this was scary, too. List of women with their addresses. And thankfully, also, they were also to able to recover Rebecca's DNA from a pair of gloves that they had found inside of the minivan, the silver minivan. Yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about too. Like, dude, the girl's just walking, like you said, the girl is just walking home from a party. You start thinking about your kids, like, immediately. Yeah. Like, and it's like, dude, yeah, like you said, it's true crime stuff, dude. The evil's out there. It's out there. So upon the arrest, they allege that Willis had, pulled up next to Rebecca to abduct her. And, the claim was, these words are, I'm going to say torture and kill her and take her against her will.
Yeah, I agree.
YouTube doesn't like these words.
Don't like these words, and they will block your stuff. And it's not like we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, so. He was going to take her against her will, perform some heinous acts, torture and kill her. And just like he had done with many other women. She refused to get in the van with him. He was completely unsuccessful. And right there, unfortunately, he ended up shooting Rebecca. The police were able to go through his entire computer. And they found a bunch of other incriminating evidence. It was filled with pictures and videos of women, underage girls, which were unclothed. And it just infuriates me more. Yeah. And this sick bastard, he actually found a folder that the cops found the folder titled Rebecca's, with Rebecca's initials. Among other folders of other women too, Willis had downloaded the news articles detailing Rebecca.
You know, and he puts them in the folders.
Yeah,
it was like his trophies and stuff. That was
sick, fucker.
What he's unbelievable, dude.
This is like stuff you see in movies.
Yeah,
you know, like, ugh.
I watched because I unfortunately I was not schooled up with this. I remember a little bit, but I had no idea about anything.
Yeah.
So I wound up watching a lot. I ended up watching the majority of the trial.
Oof.
Dude, this son of a bitch, man. He had so many excuses for everything.
Yeah.
So the handcuffs, why'd you have the handcuffs in the car? Well, it goes back to my grandson. He found them because me and my wife were into some weird things, you know. We bought toys and all this, and he found them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get these out of the house. So I put them in my minivan. Really, dude?
Huh.
That's your excuse for that? Ugh. You know? Like, everything else that was in that box that was in his minivan. That was all the stuff that was in the house that he didn't want his grandson to see or have. Or what, you know? So that's your excuse to put that in there. Then they got onto the whole files and stuff on the computer. And he said he downloaded folders and stuff. He had no idea what was in those folders.
Sure.
He just downloaded stuff, right?
Happens to us all the time.
He goes, if there's stuff with like kids and stuff, I don't know. I just downloaded. It was a mass folder. Seriously?
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, oh, okay. My bad. That, you know. That's not fair to you then, right? The hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. Ugh.
God damn it, man.
Yeah. But thankfully, they had enough to convict him. Rebecca's at this moment of Rebecca's murder alone. It started in like 2017. And they were able to give him life in prison without the possibility of parole. Mm-hmm. And there was also a big thing to where he didn't want to listen to the victim's
impact statements.
Yep. And actually, I believe they're putting a bill. Well, they are putting a bill. Had put in a bill.
Yeah. Well, I thought it got passed.
Yep. And unfortunately, the bill was subsequently approved by the Michigan Senate on May 10, 2018. So they're forced to sit there and listen to it no matter what. You're a piece of shit. You pull off a crime.
Yeah.
You're going to hear from the family. I can't remember off the top of my head if he listened or didn't
have a chance. So, he did listen to it. So the whole entire ride back to the county prison, the guards played it in the van the entire way.
I remember that.
Yeah, they played it.
Yeah.
They said, you know who told them to play it?
Who's that?
His lawyer. His lawyer told him, play it. Play the impact statement the entire way. Yeah.
Wow.
Because I think eventually his lawyer
didn't hear it.
Just kind of, you know what? This is, I do not feel comfortable with this guy.
That's got to be a terrible stance to where you're appointed to a criminal or someone like that as a defense lawyer. And it's obvious, like, he's sitting there looking at it like, there is no possible way I can sit here and try to fight for this individual without having my, you have to fight for him. It's the law.
Yeah.
But man, to sit there and just be like, damn you for one, putting me in this position. And that was probably him. That was probably his lawyer going, this is how I'm going to make it right for myself. You're going to listen to this shit.
This dude is disgusting.
Yeah. So that's actually called the Rebecca Blesch Law. So it did pass. And then following there, on December 13, 2016, Muskegon County judge ruled that Willis would stand trial for the murder and kidnapping charges in Jessica's case. So even though nothing has been found, her remains have not been found, they did state that she was murdered that night.
Yeah. Even though her family are still looking.
They are still looking.
They gave up.
Yeah. The judge decided there was enough evidence to call for a trial after 4 days of testimony during the preliminary hearing. Judge Raymond noticed evidence such as a folder on Willis's computer titled VIX. V-I-C-S, possibly short for victims, which prosecutors say included a subfolder. Titled with her initials, photos of Jessica, and the date of her disappearance. And
other stuff.
Yep.
There's other videos downloaded from the internet.
Nasty videos. Horrible, horrible, horrible videos downloaded from the internet, some of which were simulated and some which were real. So they involved, murder and acts, devious acts. The trial for Jessica's murder took place in May 2018. And after just an hour and a half of deliberations, the jury found Willis guilty of Jessica's kidnapping and murder on May 16, 2018. And he received another life sentence without parole. Whew. And then this one, I don't want to sit there. This is exactly what the woman in the store noticed. And I still notice it to this day. But there's a law that they're trying to get passed. This is very frustrating. On December 9, 2013, in Michigan House of Representatives, a bill was announced titled the Jessica Haringa Act, or alternatively, Jessica's Law, and it's requested by her parents and a community member and several other Michigan legislative members. The bill requires gas stations and convenience stores that are open between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. to install and maintain a security camera system, or at least have two employees on a shift during those hours.
I told you this when we started talking about this. The gas station right by me has a female employee, mm-hmm. and she's every bit of 25 years old. And that's when I used to go there at like 4 a.m. to fill up, or, you know, go in to grab an energy drink. She's the only one working.
Wow.
And it blew my mind how they were okay with that.
Yeah.
But I guess if they've got cameras going, then, right, there's a loophole. We don't need two people then. That's stupid. You should always have two people.
It is awful. I will never forget. I was up north, and I had to stop at a gas station in the middle of the night. It was like 2 a.m. And I drove up to this gas station, this Meijer gas station, and I went to open the door. I see the guy inside, and I go to open the door, and it's locked. And he's pointing over to me. You know, go over here. And I went, and it was a rotating door, a little rotating, you know, at the gas, you know, banks kind of have them. And a little speaker. He's like, "Hey, what do you need? I'll grab it for you, and we can pay through here."
Wow.
And I was like, "Ooh." I was like, "This is probably because of Jessica." You know, I've never seen this before. And, yeah, and it's still crazy. Like you said, you and I are up at 4 a.m., and if I got to stop and get gas, they do have cameras going, you know, all the time, mm-hmm. but there's someone alone in that store. And it's the most like uneasy feeling, like, dude, there's no way I would ever allow this, like, at all. If I had a business or whatever, like, this is, it's just too shady. I agree. Nothing good happens after midnight.
Absolutely.
You know, so, but the law was, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Okay.
No, I wanted you to finish that.
Yeah. But two employees per the shift, and, the bill would establish a civil fine of not more than $200 for each violation, and, businesses excluded from Jessica's law would include hotels, taverns, restaurants, pharmacies, grocery stores, supermarkets, or a business that was like anywhere bigger than 10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it has been passed. It obviously has not been passed.
I thought I read something as of a few years ago it was not passed.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely stupid. Again, you know, like, what else do you have to do? I'm trying to see. As of 2020, the bill was not passed. So, no. It's, how long does it get to sit in the freaking... Oh, dear.
It should be, like, immediate. Like, immediate.
So, who's saying no?
Yeah.
So, who says no to that?
Yeah.
No, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't get it. Just to have a conscience, there's no way I could live with that.
So this piece of work, he's actually been convicted of other crimes now, too. I don't know if you've seen that stuff.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
He's charged with production and possession of a girl who was 14 at the time. I'm not going to say it on here just because, you know, stuff, but you can assume. This girl actually lived next door to him, I guess. And there was an unsolved murder of a 15-year-old Fruitport High School student she was found by a hunter on October 17th, 1996 in the woods and off I-96 near Fruitport. She went missing a month earlier and was initially considered a runaway. And now I guess there's been ties to him because of he worked as a janitor at her high school. And he was being fired for looking at stuff on the school's computers. You know. Jeez. But yeah, so he's being linked into this now possibly a suspect. This guy's a piece of work, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's scary. That's some scary stuff.
Wow.
So he'll have to answer to, you know, he's answered to us. He's gonna have to answer to someone later.
Yeah, later I hope in he life. Answers to something else too while he's in prison there.
It's yeah, I wonder disgusting. If there's no way he's out in general population.
No, he wouldn't be alive. There's no way.
Yeah.
No way. What people a don't piece like that. Of
shit. Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're a murderer or, you know, whatever. People don't like when you mess with little kids or elderly people.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
They got well, he's coming. So.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's gonna bring that to an end. Hope you guys enjoyed the first true crime story. Remember, this is about Jessica and Rebecca and other victims' stories.
Yes.
This is not to glamorize Jeffrey Willis.
No.
So, not at all. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please like, share, subscribe. Share. We really appreciate the new support.
Yes.
A lot of stuff popping up.
I got a shout out somewhat. A guy on Twitter, his name Anthony, I message him, not message him, we go back and forth on stuff once in a while. He said something to me that he said, I listened to you on Google Podcast, but it's no more. I was like, oh, so I looked it up. Google Podcast, it has stopped. They're not Google Podcast no more. Everything has been transferred to YouTube Music now. So I went on YouTube Music. I checked it up. We are on YouTube Music and under the podcast section. So just so you guys know, if you ever did listen to on Google Podcasts. But to be honest, as I was looking earlier, we are pretty strong right now on Spotify and on iHeartRadio. Nice. So, yeah. So that's seems like it's booming there.
Yeah.
So.
Check.
So, yeah. Like Ryan said, like, share, subscribe, follow. Do it all, man. You know, it's forever.
Give suggestions.
Yes.
We need ideas. Give
you shout outs. You know, I said Anthony, another past episode.
Sam.
Yeah, with his Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah.
Movie review he wanted. But yeah, dude, we want suggestions. We want the interactions. We love the interactions. And you know,
just want to keep doing it.
Yeah. It's great stuff.
Yep. So. All right, Brandon, that's all I got.
All righty, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time, my friends.
See you later.